Hello. We want to welcome you to the next lesson in Lead Yourself First. I'm Tom Cooper, and I am really glad that you've joined us for today's lesson. Today, we're talking about character. When the going gets tough and you're up against the wall, can you push through and really deliver? Or do you sometimes feel you just can't make it happen? And if that's the case for you, that's what today's lesson's all about. And Lead Yourself First, this program, is your personal growth program. Social researcher Angela Duckworth said, "Our potential is one thing. What we do with our potential is quite another." And Lead Yourself First is your system that's going to help you develop what Duckworth calls grit, the grit to take advantage of your potential. And growing in this area is going to help you today. It's going to help you every day. So what does success look like? I mean, I've seen people who had less talent than I had who succeeded. Talent's not enough. It takes more than talent. And they had learned a secret that I hadn't learned. And I think the secret is learning to grow in skills that are sometimes hidden, like grit and perseverance. They can lead to amazing accomplishment. And what I discovered as I watched people who were trying to move ahead and those who were successful, that there were critical skills that anybody could acquire to grow in leadership and influence and how to effectively get things done with others. And this issue of character is one of those issues that is relevant to your success. And I wish somebody had told me this earlier in my life, because I found myself wanting to move up and not able to move. And then when I learned these things, I began to move. Now, as we're getting ready to dive into the content from today's lesson, I'm going to ask you what I always ask. How are you going to act when we're done? How are you going to act after this lesson? Your mission ought to be thinking about, what can I do with the time that I'm spending on this topic? So ACT is an acronym: apply, change, teach. What can you apply? What's something you can do right away from today's session? C, change. I'm doing it one way. I'm going to change to do it another way. And T, teach. What can you take from this lesson to teach to other people? Remember, we want to be a river, not a reservoir. And we're looking to share ideas, not in a call-in deal like this, but actually in face-to-face conversation with your spouse, your partner, your coworker, your kid, your boss. Take some ideas from this session and teach them to others, and you will find that it locks it into your brain and helps you in a big way. Now, I've been looking forward to the lesson we're getting into today. I look forward to it because I know that there's a big link between character and your achievement. And a lot of factors go into personal character, and we're going to talk about a couple of aspects that I think are going to be practical and helpful for you. Now, in the next few minutes, we're going to be going together over some incredible ideas about achievement related to your character. And if you will grab hold of something and take advantage of it, you're going to win. Now, for those of you who are in the program, you might kind of get tired of hearing me say that, but I'm telling you, these are the core components that you need to build that foundation that's going to lead you to the rocket of success that you want to be. Now, you might be looking for a way to develop your character, and for some of you, you might want to dig into some tools and accountability around that, and at the end of today's lesson, I'm going to share with you a way that we can do that together. Fair enough? Okay, let's jump in. Good character and honesty and integrity, these things are critical to success. Now, there's a future lesson in Lead Yourself First coming up on the topic of integrity, and we're going to touch on it a little bit today, but for most of today's lesson, I want to touch on one other aspect of character that's important to your success, and it's this issue known by a number of different names, but we're going to call it perseverance, we're going to call it persistence, we're going to call it grit. Now, there are two leading researchers on the topic of leadership, Kuzes and Posner, and they've written extensively on character and leadership. And what they said is, in almost every survey conducted, honesty has been selected more often than any other leadership characteristic. Of course, We want to work with a person of good character. We want to work with a person who's honest, right? I remember right after college, I had this job. I was standing in my boss's office, and he was on the phone with a customer. And the customer's office was 90 minutes away, right? And the customer needed help, and they wanted me to go to the site to help them with that. And my boss, with me standing in the room on the phone, says to the customer, "Yeah, my guy left an hour ago. He was talking about me." Immediately, I'm in trouble. Even if I ran out of my boss's office and jumped into my car right away, I'm not going to be there in 30 minutes, as the customer would expect. I should be two-thirds of the way there. My boss just lied. And so when I get there, the customer's going to be mad at me. Where the heck have you been? You left an hour ago. You know, you left an hour before. You should have been here. I mean, where have you been, right? And then what was I going to do? Was I going to tell my boss had lied? It wasn't the first lie he told me, and it certainly wasn't the last. I could not stand to work for somebody who lied like that. And I lasted about 10 months in that job, and as soon as I could find a way out, man, I took it. We can't stand it when other people lie to us. But what does other people being a liar, what does that have to do with my personal performance? What does that have to do with my career? Well, nobody likes to work with liars. But before we can work with any other people, who do you rely on every day? You rely on yourself. If you can't trust you to tell the truth to you, you're done. So let me ask you, can you trust you? Character's an inside job, and you've got to get real with yourself. If you can't trust you, nobody else can trust you. It starts with you. And we often get fired up, especially on social media, when we see people who disagree with us. And if they're acting in a hypocritical way, we just can't stand it. We can't stand it when people won't do what they say they will do. But if I'm going to be transparent with you today, I'm going to have to confess that probably the biggest hypocrite I know is me. I know what things to do, and I often don't do them. I say I believe hard work trumps talent, but then all too often I don't do the hard work. And I tell myself that I want to be healthier, but then I choose to eat poorly. I know what I want, but I don't do it. Has that ever happened to you? Tomorrow I'll go to the gym, but tomorrow comes and goes, and you don't make it to the inside of the gym. Tomorrow I'll eat better, but then that new donut shop opens near you, and you got to try it out, right? If we're able to be honest with ourselves, we have to admit that we do drop the ball, and sometimes we drop the ball almost as soon as we touch the ball. Now, recognizing that we are that person, that's the first step in being able to fix that issue. So what can we do to stop being that guy? How do we build trust, to be able to really trust ourselves to do what we say we will do? Trust is built when what we expect matches what we experience. I want to repeat that. Trust is built when what we expect matches what we experience. So the way to be better able to trust ourselves is to more consistently follow through on the things that we say we will do. But there's a force at work against us in doing what we say we will do. It's the force of our power to make excuses. We are relentless when it comes to making excuses for ourselves. I'm going to drop a bomb on you right now. We judge ourselves by our intent. We judge others by the impact their actions have on us. And I want you to let that sink in for just a minute. We judge ourselves by what we intended. We judge ourselves by our intent. We judge others by the impact their actions have on us. As long as I continue to give myself a break and say it's okay because I intended to do differently, I'm a liar. I am lying to myself. I'm putting myself in a position that can't stand outside scrutiny. If somebody's going to look at me, they're going to see that I don't do what I say I will do. And that limits our effectiveness. We cannot achieve when others can't trust us to follow through. So let me go back to that diet example I gave earlier. I intend to do better about my eating habits, but then my daughter made these amazing cookies, and they were delicious. And the reality is that calories count no matter what I intended. Facts don't care about my intent, and neither does anyone else when my actions lead to an unpleasant impact on them. They only care about the impact that they felt. Now, I'm gonna be transparent here. I have a friend who's looking for advice and help with his career. Now, two times recently, he has reached out to me for help. And I got to say, two times I've completely dropped the ball. Now, I don't know exactly why it is that I've dropped the ball, but I have. And I am brilliant at excuse making. I could make 1,000 excuses about it. I could tell myself it's not my fault. But objectively looking at the situation, it is entirely my fault. And regardless of whose fault it is, my inaction has led to an impact on my friend, and it's a bad impact. I'm hurting my relationship with him by my choosing not to follow through with him. And I'm hurting him, and I intended not to drop the ball, and I like to think of myself as a good person who helps people. And I am often helpful, but in this case I'm not. And that impact that I'm having on him is on multiple levels. I mean, on a practical level, he's just not getting the help that he was seeking from me. And his progress is slowed. And on a relational level, he's probably wondering, why won't Tom help me? Is something wrong in our relationship? On an emotional level, my failure to even respond may cause him to wonder whether I'm angry at him or rejecting him. So in my head, I can tell myself I'm a good guy who helps people, and in this one case, I just happened to blow it. But my friend is going to look at me and say, Tom is blowing me off, and it's slowing me down, and it's emotionally upsetting. And this choice that I'm making to not follow through, to not help that guy, that's harming my effectiveness with him. And it's actually harming my effectiveness with me because I know, right? I know that I'm not doing it. And that's a problem because then I'm saying, well, I'm really not the guy that I say I am. Can I trust me? Because I'm lying, right? So the fact that I've let it be okay with me to blow him off, and I can say it's not okay, but based on my results, it must be okay because that's what's happening. That's hurting me in ways I don't even see today. As long as I'm not able to be honest with myself about the impact I have on other people, I'm not going to achieve the successes that I want. So how do we begin to see those things? Well, one place is in personal reflection. Is there any way right now that I am giving myself a break where I shouldn't be? How about you? Is there some way you're giving yourself a break and you shouldn't? Now, this is the complex thing about human relationships because I've got to jump in here and say my mentor Paul Martinelli is quick to say be gentle and easy on yourself because it is so easy for me to get down on me and say, oh, I'm an idiot, I can't believe I did that. We can be our own worst critic. We can say things to ourselves that we would never allow others to say to someone we love. We can allow ourselves to say things to ourselves that we would never allow someone to say about someone we love. And we need to be gentle with ourselves. But that doesn't mean unrealistic. When my wife and I were dating, we went dancing and we took some dancing lessons. Now, I am not naturally gifted at that. It's not an area of natural talent. And our dance instructor passed on some excellent advice that applies to dancing and to other areas of our lives. He said, at some point, you will find yourself out of step with your partner. And it may be your fault or your partner's fault. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Men, when you find yourself out of step with your partner, I want you to say, I'm sorry, I seem to have made a mistake. Can we start again? Now notice there's no anger, there's no defensiveness, or even accusation. So what if instead of saying something like, I'm so stupid, or I can't believe I did that, or what's wrong with me, what if I said to myself, I'm sorry, I seem to have made a mistake. Can I start again? What impact would that have? If you tend to blow it from time to time, the fastest way to build trust is to follow through by doing what you say you will do. So here's what you do. Start small. Set achievable daily progress goals and hold yourself accountable to them. And you'll build that pattern of follow through. And when you do, you'll be amazed at the progress you begin to make. Big progress comes from little steps. New social science research is validating things the experts have known for ages. In recent years, Angela Duckworth talks about a character quality she calls grit. 100 years ago, there was a psychologist at Stanford, and she studied 300 achievers. And she said that people who stick to their goals work with tenacity. Years after that, in 1937, Napoleon Hill wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich. And in that book, he talked about that character quality, too. He called it by another name. He called it perseverance. Napoleon Hill, over the course of his lifetime, interviewed more than 25,000 people about success and failure, including, at the time, the 500 wealthiest people in the world. And he tried to find out what it was that led to their success, and he chronicled that in the book Think and Grow Rich. I don't agree with everything that's in Think and Grow Rich, but there's some really good material in there. And Hill writes, "There may be no heroic connotation to the word persistence, but the quality is to the character of the man what carbon is to steel. There may be no heroic connotation to the word persistence, but the quality is to the character of the man what carbon is to steel." Now, we know that adding carbon strengthens steel to a point, and adding perseverance strengthens people. Hill teaches the lack of persistence is one of the major causes of our failure. And we see champions invest in persistence, and even champions can improve. Now, I'm not a big basketball fan, but Zig Ziglar shared a story that I want to pass along. There was an all-pro center for the Houston Rockets by the name of Hakeem Olajuwon. And the year before they won their first championship against the New York Knicks, Hakeem realized that as the team leader, his responsibility was more pronounced than anyone else's. And he acknowledged that he had a weakness in his game, the 15-foot jump shot. Now think about that. Here's a player who's earning a multi-million dollar income, and he'd been all-pro for 6 years in a row. However, he felt the team would not win the championship until he improved his shooting from 15 feet. So before the 1993 and 1994 season, he went to the gym every day, and he practiced 500 15-foot jump shots. That's amazing. 500 jump shots. It built his strength, it built his endurance, and it improved his performance. In 94, when the Rockets defeated the Knicks in 7 games, there was only one game with more than a 5-point difference in score, and replays would reveal that Hakeem had not only improved his shooting percentage from 15 feet, that if he had not done that, if he hadn't improved his shooting percentage, the Knicks would have won instead of the Rockets. That same year, he became the only player in NBA history to win the MVP, the Finals MVP, and Defensive Player of the Year awards in the same season. If you've got great talent and you combine it with effort, you're going to see dramatic improvements. Now, do you think there were some days that Olajuwon wanted to practice 500 jump shots and some days he didn't? You ever think he got to a certain day and after 100 shots, he's like, man, that's enough for today. I'll make it up tomorrow. I'll shoot 1,000 shots tomorrow. But he didn't. He made a promise to himself, and he kept that promise, and it led to great success. And we saw from that 100-year-old Stanford research and from Napoleon Hill's research almost 100 years ago that perseverance matters. But what about today? Well, based on current day research, Angela Duckworth concludes, "I discovered that grit predicts professional and academic successes, and grit is unrelated to talent and intelligence." I just want to pause here for a second. This ability to persevere, to persist, to keep going, predicts professional and academic successes. And look at what else she said. It is unrelated to your talent. It is unrelated to your intelligence. So sometimes we make excuses. I'm not good at that. I'm not smart enough. Duckworth is telling us those things are not related to our ability to achieve. Developing a habit of persistence protects you against failure. It is not that you won't face obstacles. You will. It's not that you won't fail. You will. But you have to see failure. You have to see defeat as a temporary setback, nothing more. So what about you? Are you committed to your results? If you are, you'll persist. You'll have that grit and that determination. Hotelier Conrad Hilton said, achievement seems to be connected with action. Successful men and women keep moving. They make mistakes, but they don't quit. And we see that played out in the life of Jack Ma, who's the founder of Alibaba, and he's worth more than $29 billion. And he had a lot of failures on his journey to success. He said, I failed 3 times in college. I applied 30 times to get a job and was always rejected. When KFC came to China for the first time, we were one of 24 to apply, and I was the only one dismissed. I wanted to go into the police, and I was the only one not to be accepted. I applied 10 times to return to Harvard University in the U.S., and I was rejected. Mark Cuban, the billionaire businessman, said, I've learned it doesn't matter how many times you failed. You only have to be right once. I tried to sell powdered milk. I was an idiot lots of times, and I learned from them all. So what do these people, Hilton and Ma and Cuban, what do they have in common in addition to their wealth? They were willing to keep trying, to keep going, to persist. They developed that grit, and it paid off. So let me encourage you today, don't quit. All progress, no matter how slow, is progress. I love the story that I read in the book called The Best of Success. The authors say, the year was 1983. In Australia, the long-distance foot race from Sydney to Melbourne was about to begin. It covered 875 kilometers, more than 500 miles. A foot race of 500 miles? Are you kidding me? About 150 world-class athletes had entered for what was planned as a six-day event. So race officials were startled when a 61-year-old man approached and handed them his entry form. That man's name was Cliff Young, and his racing attire included overalls and galoshes over his work boots. At first, they refused to let him enter, but he'd explained that he grew up on a 2,000-acre farm with thousands of sheep. His family could afford neither horses nor tractors, so when the storms came, his job was to round up the sheep, and sometimes it would take 2 or 3 days of running. Finally, they agreed to let Cliff enter, and the race began. The others quickly left him way behind, shuffling along in his galoshes. But Cliff did not know that the plan included stopping each night to rest, so he kept running. By the fifth day, he caught up with all of them. He won the race, and he became a national hero. He continued to compete in long-distance races until well into his 70s. He was an inspiration to millions and a great encourager of younger runners. In his honor and memory, in 2004, the year after his death at age 81, the organizers of the race where he first gained fame permanently changed the name of the race to the Cliff Young Australian Six-Day Race. What was the key to Cliff Young's successes? It goes by various names: determination, perseverance, persistence, tenacity. It means keeping one's eye fixed steadfastly on a goal and not stopping, no matter the difficulties or the obstacles, until that goal is achieved. So based on that example, what does it take to increase your perseverance? We're going to go back to the interviews with the 500 wealthiest people in the world. And here are what Napoleon Hill came up with. These are the points that led to developing persistence. First, what is it that you want to do more consistently? What is your definite purpose? How badly do you want it? 20 years ago, I bought a guitar because I wanted to learn to play guitar, but I didn't want it badly enough to actually learn to play. My desire just wasn't big enough. So what do you want? Second, what is your specific plan to get what you want? And are you continually acting on that plan? All progress, no matter how slow, is progress. Number three, are you surrounded with positive thoughts and blocking out negative influences? Are you surrounded with positive thoughts and blocking out negative influences? And then four, are there others who can help you on your journey? If you want to develop persistence, decide what you want and how badly you want it. Make a specific plan and take action on that plan. Guard your mind, guard your thinking, and then find positive people around you. If you do that, your perseverance, your grit will increase, and your achievements will increase too. I love what Napoleon Hill says. He says, fear is a chief enemy of our success, and the surest cure for fear is forced repetition of acts of courage. Now, he didn't say that we would lose our fear. He said that the cure for fear is if we force ourselves to repeat acts of courage. And that's what we're talking about. Now, I've mentioned before that the Wright brothers are my geek heroes. They were amazing. They were completely convinced that powered man flight was possible in their lifetimes. Nobody had done that before. Nobody. It was so shocking that one of the brothers, in a letter to the Librarian of Congress, he actually said, "I am not a loon, but I believe it's possible." He knew just how crazy his dreams sounded to others. Now, those guys had a clear goal, and they were focused on doing whatever it took. And they had failure after failure after failure. Everything they tried failed over and over again. In fact, at one point, they were filled with despair, and one of them wrote, "The problem of manned flight is so difficult that man may not fly for 1,000 years. But they persevered. And just 18 months after that low point, they did exactly what they had set out to do. And how? By persistence, with grit, by perseverance. They repeatedly faced their fears and set out for success until they would have nothing else. They achieved it, and you can too. What is that thing that you want? And then how can you invest in action to get it? And I want to talk for a minute about action, because it's key to getting what you want. When it comes to achievement, we tell ourselves that hard work matters more than talent, but we don't really believe it. If we really believed it, we would persist with more grit. We would apply more effort, but we get sidetracked and we get tired and we quit right before success. Now, it's critically important to recognize that effort is exponentially more important than talent. Now, I'm a math guy. I know the definition of exponential, and I don't use that word casually. I really mean it. Let's go back to Duckworth's teaching on grit. She says that all success starts with developing a skill. Now, how do you develop a skill? How do you develop a skill? You combine talent and effort. Talent times effort equals skill. Now, you can have talent, but without effort, you'll never develop the skill. Hence my guitar story, right? You can have effort, but no talent, and you won't become effective at all. It's the combination of talent and effort that leads to creating a skill. But skill is not achievement, right? Having skills doesn't mean you've achieved with that skill. So how do you get achievement? Achievement comes when we take a skill and we combine that skill with more effort. The formula for achievement, Duckworth says, is skill times effort. So in this formula, we actually multiply by effort, talent plus effort, and then multiply by effort again, skill plus effort. That's the definition of exponential. Talent times effort leads to achievement. I want to unpack this just a little bit more. It means that if I have a great talent and I put in a little bit of effort, I'm going to have a little skill and probably not much achievement. But if you have a little talent, maybe a third of the talent that I have, what hope is there for you? Well, because effort is the exponential multiplier, even starting with a little talent, you'd be able to outperform me in a big way. There's a saying that says, hard work beats talent when talent won't work. Let's say you put your talent in combination with your effort. And let's say you put in 3 times as much effort as I put in. So you take your talent and you multiply it by 3, and then based on what Duckworth is telling us, you multiply it by 3 again. You're doing 3 times the amount of effort I'm doing, but your work counts for 3 times 3, counts for 9 times as much as mine. Your effort matters. All right, you've been patient with me, and it's almost time for you to create your personal action plan. Now, as you're getting ready for that, I want to share with you today's closing thought. In our lesson today, we talked about this idea that people fundamentally do business with people they know, like, and trust. We need to be trusted by other people. And what is it that facilitates or allows us to be trusted? It's your character. Character is what people look to when they want to see whether they can trust you to do what you say you will do. So I'm going to ask you a tough question. Are you trustworthy? Really? Or are you telling yourself a bunch of BS? Do you have a BS, a belief system that gives you permission to drop the ball, to blow people off, to not finish, to not try again when you fail? Do you give yourself a break, or are you honest with yourself about your performance? Now, if you do find that you cut yourself a break too often, be honest with yourself about it and be gentle and patient with yourself as you fix it. Trust is built when what we expect and what we experience match. So how can you experience yourself doing the things that you expected yourself to do? You make promises to yourself and you keep those promises. That's all. That's it. Keeping those promises is like building a muscle. Nobody's amazing at first. We need to build up strength over time. So how do we build up that strength of character? By making small promises and keeping them. It's as simple as that, and as hard as that, too. And that leads us to Angela Duckworth's research on grit, perseverance, persistence. If we want to build the skill of character, the skill of doing what we say we will do, we need to take whatever talent we have today at following through and combine that with effort toward making promises and keeping the promises. And if our track record of follow-through today is not great, even if that's the case, our effort will overwhelm our talent soon enough. Our effort multiplies itself and multiplies by the talent to lead to skills that lead to achievement. So for you today, what's one promise that you can make to yourself and keep it? What's the smallest baby step you can commit to and follow through? If you're a couch potato today, don't commit to running a marathon tomorrow. Don't be Cliff Young, right? Start small. Could you walk 1,000 more steps tomorrow? Even 500 more steps tomorrow? If you're working on weight loss, can you skip one snack today that you might otherwise have eaten? Or skip that second helping at the meal? One small step repeated lots of times leads to huge success. What is your plan to help grow your character? For me, as I'm teaching because I'm learning along with you guys, right? As I'm teaching this lesson, I got to call my friend and give him that help that he's asked me for. Now, maybe you're with a team as you're listening to this, and if that's the case, it's time for group discussion. After the call's over, I want to encourage you to take a few minutes to talk about character. What's the team good at in terms of character, in terms of follow-through, in terms of persistence? What's an area that would be helpful if the team would improve on? Who on the team can take point, and then what specific step are you going to take next? Now, I mentioned to you earlier, before the lesson started, that I was going to give you an opportunity to move deeper in this area. I want to offer you a 4-session coaching program on the book Developing the Leader Within You 2.0. Version 1 of the book really unlocked for me the lock that prevented me from growing. I began to see the things that I needed to do to develop my character and my influence in a profound way. And it's really simple and profound. And I love that the content there, and I want to be able to experience it with you too. The cost for that is $249 a person, and in these 4 sessions, you're going to put together a plan for your growth that will help you outline what to do and how to do it. You're going to expand your thinking about being a better leader and being ready for more responsibility. When opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. So why not start preparing today? Now, if this is something that interests you, drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com. That's tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Thanks for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.